that introduction, I don't know what to say.
I'm going to say, today, Catholics can't be mad at us, because I don't think many of their churches have a Mother Mary in it. And we do. You think I just came up with that joke, but I didn't. I have a picture up in my house, and I tell Johnny and Samantha, have you said hello to Mother Mary? As they walk out and sit right in front of their room.
Now that's a way to
open. No, but the message God gave me for today, he gave me about 3 weeks ago when I was very, very nervous about speaking on it or preaching on it. Timmy would yell at me if I didn't say that.
Amen.
But today I'm going to be talking about temperance. And y'all probably thinking, we know about temperance. Pastor Haynes taught on it. Pastors taught on it. But I figured out in my own life, God had showed me, I didn't figure it out, God showed me, that I didn't have a true understanding of temperance and what he meant by temperance in the Bible. So I figured I'd speak on that. If everyone else has it understood, amen to that. I was just the ignorant one. And this might just be a message of me giving praise to God for what he showed me on temperance.
Preach.
So first, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 9. There. 1 Corinthians 9, for anyone who's not there. We're going to go verse 24 through 27. Well, that makes no sense.
It starts.
Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm the one not there. There we go.
We all have to learn to walk.
Amen.
So it's 1 Corinthians?
Yes. 9, 24 through 27. I will be giving a lot of verses. I tell everyone this every time I speak or preach. I give a lot of verses because if I decide to get in the way of God, at least you get to hear God's word. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race, all but one receiveth the prize. So run ye, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corrupt crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What I believe that's talking about, he talks about running there, running this race. We've heard that many times by many different preachers, running this race of life. But it's talking about, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. And we've all heard, be temperate in all things. It talks about putting your body under subjection. You should be temperate in your body in all things. If you don't, when you preach those things of God, you can be cast away. It talks about that. It's a warning that if we're not temperate, that's why this thing's important of temperance. So I'm going to move on a little further. I'm specifically talking to saved folk here right now. Later on, if I have time, which I'm going to make sure I have time, I'm going to talk to lost folk. So we're going to go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Remember, if you don't know how to find it, General Electric Power Company. I still use that. Galatians 5:19. We're going to be 19 through 26. I believe Timmy had used these verses, so y'all get to hear them again. Those of you that weren't here, you get to hear some of Timmy's verses. Let's see, 19 through 26. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So back here, it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Timmy talked a little bit about that today. Well, a lot of it, I guess. About those fruits of the Spirit that the lost person cannot have. And it brings up, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As Timmy said today, if you don't have temperance in your life, if you're not temperate in all things, you're not walking after the Spirit. You're walking in your own flesh. And later on, I'll show you how some of those things happen. But right now, I'm just going to go into some of those people that God mentions as being temperate. Let's go to Titus 1. If you're looking for Titus, all the T's are in one section of the Bible. So if you find Thessalonians or Timothy, you'll find Titus. And you've now basically run me out of everything I know of how to find books in the Bible. Titus is the very last one of the T's. I'll give you that one. It's a bonus. So Titus 1, 7 through 9. He's talking here about the bishop, so Pastor Hain. I don't know if we got any other bishops in here. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Says right here, it commands a bishop to be temperate. So a man is in the pulpit throughout his life, must be temperate in all things. Now just flip over to chapter 2. If you have to flip, I don't have to. Titus chapter 2, we're going to go verse 1 through 8. There's a lot here, but I just want to speak about, I'm going to, for the older man and the young man, I'm going to do what God, or read what God has said. Both those men should be. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We'll stop there. That's where I wanted to stop. So I'm going to look at the young man and the aged man. What's the difference between them? God tells the aged man to be temperate. Is God not telling the young man to be temperate? No. He's telling him to be temperate, but it's something he's aiming for. An aged man should have these things figured out in his life at this point.
Right.
A young man is learning these things.
Oh, that's real good.
So if you as a young man are not aiming to be temperate in your things in your life, you'll fail one of God's commands as you become an aged man, because Lord willing, we'll all become aged men at some point in our life. Now let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter 1, verse 4. We go verse 4 through 8. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right there, it commands us. That's one of those things us young men should do. It says, let me start here. I have to flip for that part. Besides giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance.
Yes.
Amen.
As you gain knowledge, add to it temperance. Those things God teaches you, apply them to your life. Put God in your life. Now we're going to go to Proverbs. I apologize for this one. Normally I try to keep my notes in like order so you don't have to flip backwards, but this one snuck in on me. So Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, 8 and 9. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that follow after righteousness. I don't know what you all believe righteousness in the Bible is, but I believe it's Jesus Christ. And is telling you here, follow after righteousness. As a person, as a young man, as an aged man, if you follow after righteousness in those things in your life, it'll bring temperance. Because you're following what Jesus Christ tells you to do.
Right.
And Jesus Christ is not going to make you non-temperate. I don't know if that's the correct way to say that. I don't know if there's any English majors in here. Thank you, Johnny. So let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. It's going to be verse 5 through 9. I told you there was a lot of verses. We're not even halfway through them all. So I got to speed this up. But I'd rather have you guys hear the word of God than me interject in between.
Amen.
So Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. I stood between the Lord and you at the time to show. I stood between the Lord and you at the time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. Well, that is not the verse.
Deuteronomy 6.
Yeah, I'm in verse 5, by chapter 5.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I gave you some more word of God that you didn't even know you were getting today. Let's go. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. See, Pastor Andy, it doesn't matter how many times you say the verses. If you get it wrong, it don't matter.
Well, you were talking about old men. I thought I was lost.
I'm there with you. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. Let's do it right now. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So this is starting where, what I think temperance means in life. I used to have the misunderstanding Everyone says, most people have the saying, you leave God at church. That's where God's at. Then when you leave, they leave God at church. And I would always say, well, that's not me. But I would use the word temperance inappropriately. I'd say, I'm being temperate. I go to church, that's where God is. But temperance is having God in all parts of your life. Every single part of your life, you put God into it. And I'm not saying you have to be at work preaching the word of God.
Yeah, that's good.
But have you thanked God for the job you have?
That's right.
Because God gave you that job.
Amen.
Where you are in life, that's where God's put you. So you can thank God for those things and dwell upon those. That's what this part says. I'll read it again. Deuteronomy 5 or 6. Don't do that again, Peter. 6, 5 through 9. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And this is where it starts telling you parts of your life to put it. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates. Every part of your life, when you sleep and when you rise up, you should have God in your life. You can't just lay down in bed and go, time to turn God off for the day. That's not what it's saying. You wake up, first thing you should do, those things of God. Think upon those things of God. Praise God in the morning.
Amen.
Praise God in the evening. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. Or 1 Chronicles 28. We'll not do that. Maybe I'll just read the whole Bible for you guys and I'll eventually hit the verses I need to. I'll have you know I'm not even through my first point, Johnny. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. This is just furthering what that said in the previous one. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee.
Amen.
But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever.
Amen.
And that's talking to a saved person. It's talking to Solomon. So these are instructions for saved people.
Right.
Seek him. What did I say? Right here. All the imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. Do you not want God in your life? All day? Every day? Walking in the Spirit, as Timmy had said, having that joy in your life, seek him every day, all day. Now we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. That is after 1 Chronicles. There you go. I said I didn't know anything else, but 2 Chronicles is after 1 Chronicles. So there you go. You get another. 2 Chronicles 31. It's going to be verse 20 and 21. This is just following along the same lines of what the last one said, but you say from the mouth of two or three witnesses, so multiple chapters in the Bible say these things. So 2 Chronicles 31, 20 through 21. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the services of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Are you not prospering in those things of God?
Right.
Maybe you're not seeking him with all your heart.
Right. Amen.
This is to a saved person. That was Hezekiah was talking to. So let's go to Matthew 6. This is going to be for those people who go, but I can't always think on those things of God. I have to go to work sometimes. I need to do this. I need to do that. Here we go. Matthew 6, 30. We're going to go down through, what is it, 34. So to the end of the chapter. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall not take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Amen.
I'm almost positive all of us here have had parents, right? Okay, good. Be weird if somebody didn't. So, if God's our Father in heaven, can't we trust him with those things in our life? When you were a young child, you're a child of God now, so when you're a young child, did you think, oh, my parents aren't going to clothe me? They're not going to feed me? No. You trusted them. Well, that's all I got for that. Fun little fact. No, but if you follow after those things of God like you're supposed to, trust God, he will add those things.
That's
right. That's right. That's what it says.
So finally, for the last part for the saved folk, and then we'll get into the lost folk. 1 Thessalonians 5. Remember, all the T's are in one section. Thessalonians is how it starts. So if you're at Timothy, you're too far. Like me. 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to go verse 14 through 23. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. Always speak to God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what Jesus has concerning you? That in everything you give thanks.
Amen.
The good and the bad. Amen. Everything. Amen. Quench not the spirit. Despise not the prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Which, prophesying. No one does that nowadays. We can't see into the future except through this.
That's right. Amen.
So, what's a way we would despise the prophesying nowadays? Timmy said, you despise the word of God. You despise God itself. You're despising the prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. What is good? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hold fast to Jesus Christ. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We'll just stop there with that one. I went one verse too far, but I just wanted to get to that main part about the giving thanks in all things.
Amen.
Because that's how you can add temperance in your life. You thank God for those simple things in your life.
Right.
I thank God that Joshua and Zane live with me. And I do.
Amen.
Do they annoy me? Sometimes. But I thank God for it. It has been a blessing for me because I had asked God early on, God, would you teach me how to deal with younger people? One, it was for the military and for them. And God did that. In the military, he gave me some guys who were not the brightest. They really didn't know their jobs well, and Zane and Josh moved in. And I praise God for that because it has helped me in the sense that I couldn't just handle situations like I normally would have.
Right.
Just be a brutal jerk to people, which they probably still think I am a brutal jerk, but hey, you can only go so far until God shows someone something.
That's right.
Now, we're going to talk, I don't know if I have enough time to do it completely, but We're going to go into lost people. And this is what I think, this is one misconception I'd had that God showed me. A lost person cannot have temperance in their life. They can't. Because if we'd listened before, every single one of those people that God had said to have temperance in their life, they were saved people.
Right.
And any time you see temperance in the Bible, it's for saved people.
Right.
So hopefully I can go through here and prove that a lost person cannot have temperance in their life. Because there's one command God gives a lost person. Repent and believe.
Right.
You may think that's two things, but and in between those is a joiner. You need both of those. God tells a lost person, repent and believe. That's the only thing that God cares about with them.
Right.
That they come to salvation. So we're going to start in Isaiah 64. Most of you that read the Bible will know this verse, a commonly quoted verse. Isaiah 64, verse 1 through 6. I was in Isaiah 4, so that shows you how my mind works. Isaiah 64, 1 through 6. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down on the mountains, flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. What verse did I say I was going to? 6. I'm 2 away. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee, which thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those things of Jesus Christ. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So we all know that our righteousness is as filthy rags. If you could have temperance in your life as a lost person, you would have some form of righteousness. But you can't, because all your righteousness is as filthy rags.
That's right.
And now we're going to get into the part where things don't seem like they're temperate. Let's go to Deuteronomy, looks like 19. My handwriting is not the greatest, so it's just a really small 9. So let's hope it's the right area. Deuteronomy 19, 5 and 6. Well, it's not it. Must be 11.
Nice.
Or just don't be in Numbers. Yes, this is the correct one. Deuteronomy 19, 5 through 6. Not Numbers. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helm, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Does it seem like that man's thinking about any other thing than his life when he's fleeing to that city?
Right.
Does he stop for any other reason?
No.
That happens and that man flees to that city, lest the avenger of blood catches him and he dies, which in the part of a sinner, dies and goes to hell.
That's right.
And we're going to go to Psalm 53. Psalm 53, 1 through 3. The fool hath The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Another common verse, but there's none that doeth good. So, if those things of temperance are putting Jesus Christ in every part of your life, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So if you're lost, and it says none that doeth good, how are you adding temperance in your life?
That's right.
That is a good thing.
Can't do it.
Now, let's go to Romans 14. This is another time, again, I had to switch these verses around. They were in order, but I had to switch them around because it didn't really make sense the other way. Romans 14, we're going to do 19 and 23. I got a few minutes left, so I'll probably just talk a little bit about the last verses after I read these last two. So, Romans 14, 19 through 23. Get to 14, Peter. 19 through. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Can a lost person have faith?
No.
Nope. Jesus Christ gives us that faith.
Right.
So whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you're doing those things of temperance as a lost person, it is sin.
Right.
Because it's not of faith. Then we're just going to talk, I'll talk a last little bit about it, these last ones, just because I only got 2 minutes left. We've all heard the story of the pearl of great price. The man sold all that he had for that pearl of great price.
Right.
In most of our minds, that wouldn't seem too temperate. The saved person's life, pretty temperate.
That's right.
Because lost people, I don't believe, have an understanding of what temperance is. The man sold everything he had to find that pearl of great price. And before that, it talks about that man with that great treasure where he hides it in that field. And he also sells everything he has to buy that field.
That's right.
Then, multiple times throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, if you guys want these referenced, see me after, I can give them to you. Where it talks about, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What profit is it to a lost person if they put temperance in their life and they die and go to hell anyway?
That's right.
What does it add to their life? It adds nothing. Then we got Mary and Martha, two people that were. One sat on Jesus' knee, the other ran about doing those things, and we think, well, Mary was doing the right thing. She's doing all that stuff she needed to do, those people, but it was better for her, Martha, to be sitting listening to Jesus Christ than any other thing. The only thing a lost person should worry about in their life is sitting and listening to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all those things. Then finally, we'll talk about the young ruler. We all know about him. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to be saved, I believe it is. And Jesus told him all these things. And Jesus told the man, says, I do all that. And Jesus said, finally, well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the man couldn't do that. Is Jesus a liar? No. If the man would have done that, he would have had no care for any other item in this world but Jesus Christ. Would have cared for, he cared more about those things of this world than his own soul.
That's right.
That's what a lost person should care more about, is their soul, rather than these things of the world, these things they can't attain to. A lost person cannot have temperance in their life, but through salvation, they could get it. That's all I got. I guess I will close in prayer. Father, I don't know if I said everything you'd have me to say today. I just ask that if I had said anything foolish, you remove that from people and keep those things that may have be of help to them. In your son's name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, we'll have our song in just a second. Sure. Please stay right where you're at. Peter, you did a good job.
Thank you, sir.
I have a message for young mothers. We have a number of young mothers here. Somewhere in this last year, we had a crisis going on with a woman and her child. We got some kind of squeaking going on here. Probably that. But Peter and I were in the back room with her, and Peter told a story. He talked about a time as a kid, he'd stolen some food out of the refrigerator, and if you've got 9 kids, and you're trying to get along on a budget, and some kid steals out of the refrigerator, it hurts things. His mother caught him, sent him up to his room. He told this story. He talked about sitting up there, and she came up into the room with some milk and some crackers and sat down with him and just explained to him what it's like trying to budget, trying to make a family work. For him, it was just a lesson that stayed with him forever. Just helped him to see life and to see things. And he explained to that woman what it's like to have a mother that cares. And some of you young mothers, you just remember then your hard times and everything's falling apart. You can make a huge difference in a child's life. That's a lesson he never forgot.
Amen.
Carried with it for life.
That's good.
Was able to tell another.
That's good. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing that. Page 172. Whatever your relationship